is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The bill is called Establishing New Authorities for Businesses Laundering and Enabling Risk to Security, which spells enablers. This is about laundering money in the United States, which turns out to be very easy. Following the reporting by Josh Rogan of the Washington Post, he writes Global Opinions. Josh, you've just arrived at Dulles Airport with a suitcase of cash, some dollars, some euros, some pounds, and you're looking to launder it. What is the thinking about how this is done in the United States, and what is the thinking about the Enablers Act, how to intervene? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Yeah, I think over the last 3 or 4 years, as investigations like the Panama Papers have revealed huge amounts of that we didn't know about how international money laundering works. One of the most shocking things we've discovered is that it's not your traditional Cayman Islands, Panama banks that are actually the leading edge of money laundering these days. It's places like South Dakota. And why is it that South Dakota has become a haven for privacy and secrecy for crooks and criminal organizations and terrorist organizations and despots and dictators and their cronies to hide and wash their dirty money? Well, it's very simple. It's because they've set up systems of regulation and insulation that are meant to bypass the basic checks and balances that are supposed to keep our financial system clean. And, you know, if I were showing up at Dulles with a suitcase full of cash, I'd head to South Dakota or find me a lawyer who does business there. And what the Congress has been trying to do over the last few years is to close several loopholes that allow this corrupt scheme to profligate inside of our own country. One of them is through the use of shell companies. There was a law passed that to say simply that if you have a shell company, there ought to be a name attached to it. It's a stab at that part of the problem. And now what Congress is trying to do is they're trying to require lawyers and financial consultants and art dealers and whoever else is helping launder all this foreign cash in our system to speak up. First of all, to ask a few basic questions about these clients. And then if they find out that it's shady or illegal, to report it. Now, that's not a perfect solution. It's really actually what I consider to be the bare minimum of what we could do to sort of clean up this mess that we've built into our financial system. But anyway, the bill is going to likely fail this year in Congress, despite the fact that it's bipartisan support because of one senator, Senator Pat Toomey of my home state of Pennsylvania, who, along with his Senate Banking Committee staff, is thwarting the passage of the bill for reasons that are both some public and some non-admitted.
I puzzle a bit about that suitcase of cash. You went to South Dakota. Couldn't I easily take half the cash and go to New York and start buying artworks?
Right. You'd want to spread around your stolen cash if you're some sort of Russian oligarch or some sort of Chinese kleptocrat. Basically, you want to put some in real estate, some in art, some into trusts, some into shady investments. And, you know, the point is that this complex set of loopholes that exists in our system is usually can't be navigated by these crooks alone. They need Americans to help them, in other words. And if you're any one of those Americans, you ought to not do that. That's creating a huge problem that's allowing crime to prosper in our society. And because many of these actors work for our enemies, including the Russian, the Chinese, the Iranians, and the North Koreans, they end up using that laundered money to attack our democracy. Right. So that makes us doubly stupid for participating in the scheme. But, you know, the point is that, you know, if you work just through a bank, if you're an American bank, you have to live up to some sort of regulation. You have to, you know, do some sort of due diligence of the money, at least you're supposed to. But all of these other Americans who are helping launder this illicit cash, there's no requirements at all. There's no shortage of ways to launder money in the United States. And that's the problem, because that laundered money is what keeps these crooks and despots and dictators in business and protected from sanctions and able to prosecute war in places like Ukraine endlessly. And we're helping them unwittingly because we refuse to clean up the vulnerability in our own institutions.
I think you just pointed to legislation from two decades ago. Know your customer. Banks have to file reports when cash comes into their accounts.
Right. There are several layers of oversight that on the banks that are enforced in various levels of scrupulousness. But the point is that at least there's an acknowledgement in our system that they're supposed to be not helping foreign criminals wash dirty money inside the United States. Now, what the Enablers Act would do is simply require it's basically self-reporting. And that, again, is sort of the bare minimum. It's what everyone involved in the system could agree on, because there's very little that Republicans and Democrats can agree on in Washington these days. But you've got everyone from Mike Pompeo to Sheldon Whitehouse to Roger Wicker to Joe Wilson, all saying that, okay, this is the least we could do, is to make it the law of the land that art dealers and lawyers have to check out their clients a little bit. And then when they see something, say something. And even that can't get through because Congress is that dysfunctional. And guys like Senator Pat Toomey and his Senate banking staff are doing the bidding of their constituencies. And sure enough, it's much easier to kill something in Washington than to solve a problem.
The American Bar Association opposes this, which is puzzling to me because it would provide assurances that they're not being compromised by bad actors.
I mean, I think that's part of it. I think another part of it is that they are wary of any national security justification being used to infringe upon their business. And this is their business, and their business depends on client confidentiality. But that's not supposed to enable them to be complicit in crimes. And where that line lies is, I guess, a matter of debate. But the fact is that, you know, why would the lawyers want any oversight by the national security community? In the same way that Wall Street doesn't want any oversight, in the same way that, you know, Silicon Valley doesn't want any oversight. But these are national security issues. So the lawyers can like it or they can lump it, because when you have the Russian oligarchs abusing our system to fund Putin's war machine, that's a national security issue, whether the lawyers like it or not. So, you know, there's a way that there could be a negotiation where some of their concerns are addressed. But right now, they're not even engaging on the issue because they have people like Senator Toomey to protect them and keep them out of the line of fire.
You mentioned the Russians. However, you also in your column point to drug traffickers, Chinese Communist Party agents, Chinese kleptocrats. That would be the people who've escaped with cash. Are other countries as vulnerable?
The United States, by some accounts, is the number one country in the world for money laundering. And that's saying something, because, you know, it's one thing if, terrorist organizations and drug cartels want to wash their money in some third world country where there's no regulation. But our economic success and leadership depends on our financial markets having integrity and our financial systems not being corrupt, totally corrupted. We have a different kind of responsibility in the world. And when we allow this kind of rot in our system, that undermines both our national security and our economic security. So, yeah, it is pretty amazing that the United States has become the best at money laundering. But that just shows you how egregious it is that Congress can't even do something small to try to get at this massive problem.
And we have a finite amount of time for this to be made into law, and then it goes away, or does it start again in the new Congress?
So the House passed the bill as part of the National Defense Authorization Act. That's the last must-pass bill that definitely will get to the president's desk in the lame duck. And so that's why the ball is in the Senate's court. And that's why Senator Toomey is able to block it basically single-handedly. If he succeeds, then they have to start next year. And new divisions and new processes. And it took 2 years to get to this point. It didn't work. There's not a lot of faith that somebody else won't come along to replace Senator Toomey when he retires and put their and block it for whatever reason. This is how, you know, democracies are undermined. This is how the autocrats and the crooks and the kleptocrats do it. They use our openness against us. They use the fact that we live in an open society to take advantage of our economic prowess, and then you to wash their dirty money, and then to spend it to undermine, interfere in our politics. That's what's going on. And you know, there's a lot of awareness and there's a lot of concern, but there's no problem solving. There's no solution. That just shows that if our democracy is too dysfunctional to protect itself, well, then that's the crooks and the despots.